Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, happy Thursday, and being that it is Thursday, we know what that is. It's P4P Real Talk with Caleb Patterson and Desiree Hayes, and with that being said, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Well, I hope everyone's been having a great week. I know I have. Kaylin, how's your week been going for you so far?
It's going great. I'm feeling a lot better, so I'm real happy with today.
Very good. Were you a little under the weather?
Oh, yeah, that spider bite had me sick for a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I'm glad you are feeling better. It's kind of crazy, but it seems like more men that are afraid of spiders or don't like spiders than women. So I guess they're going to be out there sympathizing with you tonight and your spider bite. So, Maddie Nation, I am very excited and happy this evening to invite back Amber Cahill and Tristabel Aquila. If you remember, they were with us probably about 3 weeks ago, and we had technical difficulties, and we got cut off, like, right at the beginning of the show, and I was so bummed. But they were so gracious to come back and spend the Thursday evening with us again. So with that, I want to welcome Amber and I want to welcome Tristabel. How are you ladies doing tonight?
Hi there. Doing great. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, thanks. I'm doing very well as well. Sorry about your spider bite, Kaylin. That's not cool.
No. Thanks, guys.
I'm surprised you got close enough to one to have it bite you.
It didn't
sneak up in your bed or something, did it?
No, this happened at work. Opened the door, and it was building a web and dropped down. It's just one of those rare, freak, like, kind of crazy things. Perfect for Halloween, though.
Perfect.
You're Spider-Man.
Yeah, there you go. Well, he is kind of a superhero, guys. I mean, I don't know. We'll see if he's got any new skills that pop up now. So, well, to kind of...
Like pole dancing skills.
Yeah, there we go. After tonight, we'll have to see if you've got any new super pole dancing skills or pole fitness skills, which is an awesome lead-in. You just might. You just might. And that is a perfect lead into what we're talking about tonight. We are talking about all things pole. So Amber is the owner of TGR Fitness, and she's also a professional pole athlete. And Tristabel is a professional pole athlete as well. And I'd like to ask these ladies, Amber, if you'd like to go first, to tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got started in this sport.
Absolutely. I grew up here in Ankeny, Iowa, and grew up in the gymnastic club, spent 5 hours a day training, was very used to that whole athlete mentality of spending a lot of time on your sport, as well as dance and cheerleading and just staying active. When I went on to college, I did gymnastics there as well, kept coaching, kept staying somewhat active. But really, once I reached adulthood and I had 3 kids, got married, had 3 kids, went to college, and couldn't find anything that really kept me as active as I was growing up. So I luckily got dragged into a class. A friend of mine said, come try this class with me just once. And I didn't know what to think. And I'm like, I'm a mom. I can't be, dancing on a pole. So I reluctantly went with her, and I loved it. I got hooked. At that time, I was also working out at Lifetime Fitness, which, if anybody knows about that chain, it has all the amenities possible, and it's just a beautiful location. And I was amazed at that time how you could fit so many people in one room and yet feel so alone. There still wasn't a connection. Everybody's facing forward, doing their group fitness class, running on the treadmill, and I really wanted to create something that combined the two experiences that I had, the athleticism and camaraderie with women between both Lifetime Fitness and the pole classes I was taking. So when I moved back here, back home, to bring my family back home, I thought this is the perfect time to open up something that I think can bridge both those things together between sports and camaraderie with women. And before this, I was an elementary school teacher. So I knew that this was taking a huge leap and really kind of going from one extreme to another. But yet it's all teaching. It's all teaching. It's all coaching. So I see more similarities than differences. But that's how I ended up here. We've been open five and a half years. I have to look to Trista Bell to see how long I've been open. Is that right? 5.5 years already. It's just flown by.
That's awesome.
And I haven't looked back. It's been great.
That's awesome.
I think
so
it's been great.
TGR. Well, I think it's great, too. So TGR stands for the girls' room, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Do I have it right?
But now it also stands for the guys' room, because our new Des Moines location is co-ed. So it can be the guys' room now, too.
Yep, sometimes we're the guys' room.
Very good. That works. It can be the girls' and the guys' room. And that's right, because you have three locations in and around the Des Moines metro area, right? So you have one in Ankeny?
Ankeny is our first in our home base, yes. And then we share a space with Iowa School of Burlesque in Ames. That's not our own spot, but we do share their energy and their vibe and their cute little location there. And then we just recently, in the last month, opened up one in Des Moines, downtown Des Moines, right between the Science Center and Principal Park. So that is our kind of Ninja Warrior base and our aerial base. And then Ankeny is still, at this point, our pole home base. So we've got a little bit of everything going on between the three locations.
Awesome. That's very exciting. We're going to touch more on that in a little bit. But I wanted to also get to Trista Bell and get her story on how she got started in this whole pole business.
Oh, yeah. I'm nothing like Amber. I'm nothing like Amber at all. I am a dental hygienist by day, but I'm a dental hygienist that can hang upside down by an ankle and remind you to floss. So please floss. I moved to Des Moines from Iowa City, and my little brother was a bouncer at a nightclub, and he's very shy, so he would often have me go to work with him and just hang out until he got done working, because he was just very much an introvert. So I used to spend my weekends dancing, not very well, but fun, and I moved here, and that kind of scene was missing, so I was trying to find some hip-hop dance classes for adults, because I'm in my mid-30s now, and I couldn't find anything. So my Google search somehow pulled up pole dancing, and I kind of sat back, and I was looking at it like, what are my parents going to think? And I decided to visit the website, and it's Amber and all of her crew wearing matching tank tops and matching shorts, looking like cheerleaders. And I'm like, well, that doesn't look bad. You know, I mean, if they could put that, I mean, that's cool, right? So, okay. So I bought it. At the time, she had punch cards, which she doesn't have anymore. Sort of. You got drop-in classes.
Yes.
But I bought a 30-class punch card because I wanted to, like, really give it a fair chance to decide if this was something I was going to like, or, you know, I didn't want to try it once and be like, oh, yeah, this is that thing. I did that one time, because I do stuff like that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I called the studio to find out if I could just randomly pop into a class or if I had to wait for, like, a new session to start. And Amber actually answered the phone in her cute cheerleader voice and was like, oh, no, just come on in anytime. So I did. And within my first 10 minutes of a pole class, looking like Bambi on ice, I was completely addicted. And just about 4 days ago was my 5-year pole anniversary.
Yay.
High five.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. So, yeah, I had no helpful background to help me transition to pole dancing. I just decided I loved it and I was going to do this, and so I am.
Awesome. And that's the best reason to do something. So, So it sounds like both of you ladies found this this exercise outlet, this sport, a little later in life. But
yeah,
you know, who is this good for? I mean, what kind of clients do you guys have? Who are you seeing that are catching the wave of pole fitness? I mean,
oh,
I'm in my 40s and go ahead.
We see everybody. Yeah, I would say the largest group of women that we have are women that may not have been working out. I just came from a conference, an SCW conference over the weekend, where we're talking about fitness trends, and there's only about 17% of our population that actually belongs to a gym. We have a huge untapped market of people that just aren't doing anything. So I really see in my classes women that didn't feel like they fit in anywhere else and didn't like to work out and didn't just have that athlete or workout mentality. And they get a workout in, and it just kind of sneaks it in when you're in a pole fitness class. You don't realize how hard you're working. You're dancing, you're laughing, you're making fun of yourself, you're getting support from the women around you, and it doesn't feel like a workout. I mean, I got to say, when Trista Bell came to me, she was adorable and cute with these little chicken arms, and she wanted to do all these tricks, and I'm like, girl, first we got to get some muscle on the bones. And now I would say she's an athlete, and she was an adorable model when she walked in the door, and she's an athlete now, and it all happened by accident. She didn't even realize it was happening.
Nope.
And that's the best way that it keeps people coming back. They love it and they don't dread it. It's not like that date that you have with the treadmill and you know today you got to do 5 miles and you're dreading it. It just kind of sneaks in there. So the brunt of my clientele are women that never really were gym goers. They were not gym rats. And I love that. I love that we're hitting a whole other group of people and getting them active. I hate working out. I hate it. Working out is the worst thing on the planet. I can run 3 miles, but what's my motivation? It's not pizza. Like, if I want some pizza, I'm going to eat some pizza. I don't care. But, no, my motivation now for working out, to go to a strength training class or to get in that 3 miles, is because it's making me better for pole. And, yeah, so that's why I started working out, because of pole dancing. Good reason.
Cool.
Good
and
reason.
That's awesome. I mean, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's with this market that we have of all these women coming in, and they don't want to go to a normal gym, because no, anybody who really wants to go to a normal gym. But it's so funny watching these people come in, and they're just like, oh, I'm not much of one for working out. And you fast forward 6 months, and they're posting about how angry they are on Facebook because they're missing their class at the gym that night.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody had something come up, and they're like, well, now I can't come. And they're just, like, so ticked off about it. So that's great.
So tell me, what are women working? What are they building? What muscle groups or core fitness does it take to be good at pole?
Absolutely. When you start, my curriculum is developed to be 12 weeks in length, because that really is how long it takes you to build up some different type of muscle strength that you wouldn't normally be using. So when you first start, we literally start with walking around the pole and how to hold your body in place. So
And that's hard.
Walking is hard. We do know that. So when they start out, we really learn how to hold your body position. And, you know, pole is primarily upper body, at least in the beginning. And just to hold your shoulders down and back really improves your posture. It starts working some upper body strength in women that don't normally do that kind of thing. I spent half my life upside down in handstands. I was used to it. I'm comfortable there. But when you translate that to holding your body weight up, we really have to start slowly, built into that. Once you get into level 2, we're starting to invert, which means your feet go above your head. Now you have to start engaging the core. And as you go on to each level, as it progressively gets a little more physically challenging, you're using every single muscle in your body. And what I love about it, every single time you do a routine, the routine is different, therefore you're using different muscles. You're constantly surprising your body. Your body will not plateau because you're not giving it the same formula every day. You're changing it up
as long as you don't forget to do your special side or your dark side or your other side. We have a lot of pole dancers who like to only do their good side, and we don't want you to walk out looking like Popeye on one side.
And olive oil on the other.
And olive oil on the other. So we're very adamant you learn both sides. Even though it might not be as pretty, you still need to work it. So by the time you are all the way through our pole levels, our highest level of pole dancer is your PhD, where you earn your pole hottie degree. By the time you earn your pole hottie degree, you are a doctor of pole dancing. And
I am.
And well, it's a PhD, so we can now call her a doctor. She's going to get that title from
nice.
Me, of sorts. By the time you reach that level, I mean, anytime you get through any of our competition routines, 3 to 4 minutes in length, you are definitely hitting the cardio aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Your heart rate's up there, and you're hitting every single muscle. So I think it's one of the best forms of exercise out there. I might be a little biased, but still.
I belong to multiple gyms and hardly ever went to any of them. So I can say with complete security that pole dancing is the best exercise in the world.
Because it gets you there.
It's the only thing I've stuck with in my whole life. But, yeah, those 3 to 4 minute routines are no joke. That is, they are both the longest and the shortest 3 to 4 minutes of your life.
True story.
And that's why we need cardio.
Mm-hmm.
So cardio is good. Strength is good. Love both of those together.
Yeah.
So I have been in one of your pole classes. I didn't get to graduate level one because life just kind of got in the way. But I was still going to one of the other boring gyms. But I was getting it in, girls, getting it in.
Good for you.
But before I came to your class, I did not even realize that pole was a sport. Like, it's a legitimate sport. It was actually even being considered for the Olympics at one point. I don't know how that panned out, but talk to me about the competitive side of pole.
Yes, we have seen such huge growth in the competition scene. It's really taken off. It's really accelerated quickly. And you will see all different types of competitions. And it used to be, I would say, in the first, let's say, 3 years of the competition, you would have your pole celebrities, you know, your highest level pole dancers that, you know, we were... It's a celebrity.
Aspiring to be.
Yeah, and you would have that selected group, and they would be your professional pole dancers, and they were the ones that dominated a majority of the competition. There is a selection process. You do have to submit to even be considered for a competition, so they may take anywhere from 8 to 15, 16 ladies in each competition. So just to be selected is huge. So in the earlier days, we would see the same women rise to the top and compete, and we got familiar with some of those names. Nowadays, you will see a full range of competitions, not just your professional, but you also see your amateur competitions, really giving everybody a chance to get on the stage. One that we do with our studio every year is the Pole Sport Organization. That is not a submission process. You can train, go, sign up, and be in your own category, your own age group, and your own style. I think that's fantastic. It gives ladies a chance to get on stage and see what it's like and go through the process. I personally started competing just to understand the process and to know how to coach women. I've been through many gymnastic meets, many dance competitions, but this was different. This was new, and I did 14 competitions.
Yeah.
Since 2012, I was kind of on a rampage. I don't at all advise you to do that many. It kind of puts you over the edge. But I just couldn't say no. I kept, oh, this one looks fun. This looks fun. So I just kept submitting and doing them. And looking back, you know, here I am looking back, and I was writing down what competitions I've done. And I have a national title holder in each of the three in pole dance, in pole, in lira, which is hoop, and fabric, aerial silks. So for me, I just started branching out and competing at all genres of competition and then really applying that here. So just to see growth from amateur to professional and all these competitions across the nation pop up, I think is a great opportunity. And I think one of the most rewarding things for me personally is, yes, I have that background. I'm familiar with competing. But a lot of the women I've put on stage have never in their wildest dreams thought they would be doing something like that. They did not grow up in the gym or competing. We've had competitors from 9 years old. My son was the youngest. He was Spider-Man. So, you know, that's Kaylin, that's always something you can aspire to.
Kaylin, there you go.
Spider-Man tails to the pole. Jack can teach you a few things. And then our most seasoned competitor was 54 years old. So we have a huge range, and we're really seeing it being more and more accessible to everybody. And, yes, we are still in the process of pushing to get it accepted into the Olympics. I believe we're on the last. We're in the last leg of it. We've passed, I think, two or three steps. So that is still out there as a possibility.
Yeah. We are now in the pool of sports that the Olympic Committee chooses the Olympic sports from. I think the scoring systems have a little ways to go yet because the scoring systems are different with every competition that you go to. So they're going to need to come up with a great scoring system. Because there's so many different aspects in pole dancing. There's artistry, there's flexibility, there's strength, there's safety, there's proper ways to do things, and there's improper ways to do things. All of these things have to be thrown in together, and, you know, costuming is also an issue. Like, all of your body parts have to be covered, but yet you can't be too covered because skin sticks to the pole and you don't want to die. So,
death would be bad.
Right?
Death by pole would be bad.
I always like to tell people when they see, you know, pole dancing competitions, I'm always trying to explain the clothing to people who have never experienced pole before. And it's like, they're not dressed that way because they're trying to be sexy. They're dressed that way because they value their life. They're not Chinese poles. They're metal poles, and skin sticks to that, and clothes do not. So you really have to... It's not vanity, it's not sexiness, it's, I'm going to live to see this a day.
and I think a lot of it is perspective as well, because what I usually do is show them a picture of a figure competition. And
Those girls don't wear anything,
because you've got to see their bodies. But somehow that's a little bit more socially acceptable than when you're in a pool competition, because my ballet bar goes vertically instead of, you know, horizontally, and all of a sudden
exactly.
we change the concept of perspective. So competitions really are hitting all areas. And also I wanted to jump on something that she had said with the scoring system. I've also started to get more and more involved on the judging aspect, and some of these leading companies being Katie Coates is the one who's leading the campaign to get it into the Olympics. And she is working on a code of points. Some of it is similar to gymnastics, and some is similar to your figure skating, springboarding off of some of those things and applying it to our sport.
All right.
That is awesome. So you guys have, like, covered a ton in the last couple of minutes. In a nutshell, I'm going to ask you to recap just real fast. In a nutshell, you know, age ranges, what are the categories? Just real briefly, so if I'm like, okay, when do I want to compete? What am I looking at? Just give me the Cliff Notes version of the competition world.
Right now, we have the most exciting, I think, is the youth division that has just opened up nationally. Before, that was only over in Europe. So we have the youth division, and for the most part, that is usually 9 to 12, 9 to 14, somewhere in there. Then we have the junior division. That will be your teenagers up until about 18 or 22. Some of them vary. Each competition will be slightly different. Then we have, what are they calling it, seniors. Seniors will be next, and that category is your 20s, your 30s. Masters, which I was so lucky to finally reach this year, is your 40 and over group. However, we have had some people say, some people say, you know what, they're still too badass at 40 and over. We need to kind of segregate.
Oh, man.
We need to have a 40 and then like a 60 and over, a grandmaster. So that's another category that might be even split up even further. So there's something for everybody.
Go ahead.
You said there were different genres or styles. What's that all about?
Yeah, the pole sport organization has a championship division, and championship division is what the professionals compete in. There's also a dramatic and an entertainment division. Now, really, the only difference between them is how we score them. So the entertainment category is going to be more heavily weighted on, obviously, entertainment, how much of the story you tell. The dramatic is going to be, I always tell them that how you make us feel if you're pulling us into the performance. So it's a little bit more performance-based. And then your championship division will have a little bit more time on the pole. We're looking for more of the
mastery.
Yeah, more technical aspects. You still, however, need to entertain and make people feel something, even in a championship division. So they all still kind of intertwine together.
Yeah, you got to do it all in a championship division. No pressure.
No pressure at all. How are the points weighted then? I mean, what are different, you know, because I come from the bodybuilding world and I compete in bikini in that area. So, you know, there are different things, you know, you get weighted on your posing, your symmetry, your muscle structure, all of that kind of stuff. How is the judging weighted when it comes to pole?
Again, it's going to vary from competition to competition. I do want to say that. And most competitions are pretty transparent where you can see the scorecard beforehand, so you do know how to prepare. But you will have, let's just take that championship division or that professional level division, you will have I don't want to just say costume, but appearance-wise, costume is part of it, and they'll call it different things. You have the technical, so, you know, whether or not you point your toes, and you have your lines are executed. You will have skill level, so that, you know, your difficulty does get more or fewer points. What am I forgetting, Tristabel? Anything?
If you lose a body part, you get disqualified immediately.
Lose a body part, what did they just say? Is that a wardrobe malfunction or things are falling off?
It's a wardrobe malfunction, not like you just lost a leg. But if you have a wardrobe malfunction, you get disqualified, and that is probably that's more embarrassing, I think, than falling. I would rather fall on stage than have a wardrobe malfunction, because at least I'm still going to get some points.
Aside from keeping your clothes on, what clothes you are wearing, how do you become pro? How does that work?
You know, you really submit, you get accepted, and you perform. It used to be, you know, similar to figure competitions where you earn your pro card. You really had to kind of win a competition. And now I'm a professional because I've competed in the professional division. And really the reason we are saying that professional level is because now I can no longer go enter an amateur competition, because that would be unfair to Sandbag. So once you've entered and been accepted to a professional level competition, you are now a professional, so you cannot go backwards, and you really cannot Sandbag and just earn a title at an amateur competition.
Yeah, and I like that for the most part, people really respect that boundary because, you know, everybody who is on that stage has worked really hard to get there. And, you know, sometimes we see people who drop down a level and they really should be up in the level that we know they can do. And that kind of rubs me the wrong way because it's like, you're taking candy from a baby. Come on. Knock it off. Go play with kids your own age. Like, yeah. So you want to pull with the big girls, then pull with the big girls, but don't go taking titles from people who are working their way up.
Right. And some of the other competitions will segregate it into levels like 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So we do have levels 1 through 4, and then you have professional levels. So there still are more categories or more areas for the amateur to compete at.
Okay.
Which is nice. So we've been encouraging Kalen to exercise his superpowers, his super pole powers that we know that he has somewhere.
All right.
So do men do this? So I heard you say your son is doing this at the kids level. But do men do this at the competition level?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh,
absolutely.
And they're so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing some of the things that they do.
It's really unfair.
the men's division is growing, again, by leaps and bounds. We used to only have one or two men who would submit. I would say in 2013 when I was at Pole Expo competing at Pole Classic, one of the biggest moments for me was Kenneth Cow when he jumped from one pole to the other pole, and they are 8 feet apart. And
wow.
it just brought down the house. There were thousands of people there, and everybody just kind of went crazy. So the men always come out with these big, cool moves, and I'm over there screaming, yelling, going, I want to do that. I want to be a guy. I want to do all the guy things. There are some pretty amazing things they can do with that strength. It absolutely is getting more and more men to join when we have guys like and Kenneth Cow is a chiropractor by day, and his home-based gym, Vertical Fusion, is within a parkour gym. So we're getting those kind of guys, and that's what my son does. He likes to spend his life doing parkour. Scares the crap out of me sometimes, but he just cannot walk a straight line. The kid is jumping over everything. So what's a pole? It's the same thing. It's just one more obstacle to conquer, to springboard off of. Yes.
Awesome. So
yeah.
If somebody – oh, hey, you're still there. Good to hear from you, Kaylin.
Yes. I'm intrigued because, like, when she was talking about gymnastics, you know, there's a lot of guys that grow up in gymnastics as well, and I was thinking, you know, that would be the perfect match for them as well.
Absolutely. And I think there's so many men that could excel at this. Yes, they would get over that, you know, that stigma, I guess. And once you try it, once you get in there and give it a go, especially those, you know, your rock climbers, your gymnasts, your strength to body ratio people can really do such awesome things. And we're seeing more and more of that translate over. And our Des Moines location has some Ninja Warrior stuff. And with the popularity of American Ninja Warrior and all that parkour style of movement, I think that's really crossing over into pole, because it really is moving your body through space, and it really is all the same thing, from TRX to, you know, climbing the monkey bars to, you know, balancing sideways on a pole. It all takes that strength to weight ratio and that functional movement.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking is, you know, as a lot more people learn about true health and fitness, you know, because there's a lot of things that happened in bodybuilding and everything else where it became a myth, almost like shrouded it, where, you know, you got the jerks, the meatheads, whatever, and the normal people didn't want to go into the gym, but now they realize, hey, anybody can do it. And I think that's what's happening now with all versions of health and fitness, is that once you get away from, you know, the cardio bunny mentality and understand that cardio is good for your heart. So, you know, people can do those classes, and then they found out, oh, I actually like them.
Exactly. And we are moving more from a fitness mentality to a wellness mentality, just as a nation. And that really needs to happen. That really needs to bridge that gap there, because what we want people to get out there and start moving. And that hits your mind, your body, your soul, all of that together. If you're laughing and playing, and that's really what it is, if you're playing and staying fit enough that you're able to play, that's we're living longer, and now we want to live a better quality of life. And that all happens with wellness and movement and playtime. And that's really what all of this is. Even if you never walk in and try a pole class, try something that really, you know, steps out of the box of, you know, just running on the treadmill. Treadmills are nice too, by the way. I keep giving them a bad rap. They are good in their place.
I hate treadmills.
Running is good. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying, let's switch it up every once in a while. Let's try something new. But sometimes we need to do our fitness in order to be able to play. And for me, that's the saddest thing that I see, is when people just stop moving and they stop playing. And they go watch their kids do stuff, but they stop doing it themselves. So,
yes.
You know, try going across the monkey bars next time you're there with your kid. Try it. I dare you. It's challenging. And then, you know, step by step by step, we try new things. And like I said, even if it's not pole, it should be something. Just get out there and get a little bit more playtime.
Well said. Yes.
Yep, I'm into that. I totally agree. So, how do you, I mean, do you see people in your classes and you're like, they're ready for competition, or do women say, or men, women and men, do they just say, you know what, I have a goal, I want to compete? I mean, how do they go about getting started, or, you know, how do you get on the competition path?
Well, it's all of those things, really, right? I decided I wanted to compete, and I just didn't tell anybody for a year, because I do that. I set silent goals for myself, and then just they manifest and happen. But I've definitely had students in my class who just have somehow come in, and they have great technique and great lines, you know, stuff that I had to work my butt off for. Mm-hmm. And I just look at them, and I'm like, oh, you're competing next year. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah. I'll talk to you about it again in 6 months, but you're going to be on stage in a year from now. You're going with us, and you're going to compete. And then there are the people who are just like, I think I want to compete. And we're like, okay, come with us. This mm-hmm. is a great group experience, and you're going to have a really fun girls' weekend. So mm-hmm. let's just sign up. Let's go.
At TGR, we post one or two competitions a year that we're going to do as a group. And I usually post some of the other ones that are out there just so people can, you know, be familiar with them. So I think step one is that some of these women who were thinking about it know that there's going to be a support team there, know that other people are going to be going through the process with them, or that others have gone through that process before. And sometimes I just look at somebody and I say, yeah, you're going to do this. I'm going to what? Yes, you're going to do this. You're ready, and you're just waiting for maybe next year, maybe next year. And if you keep saying maybe next year won't come. It's time for you to do this and push yourself. And the final result, whatever place you get or what your score is, that never matters. There are judging, we do get the scorecards back after competition. There are scorecards of mine personally that I never even read. It doesn't matter. What matters is the process and what you learn about yourself, you know, physically, mentally, along the way. So I really will see somebody in our classes or somebody in our group and say, you're ready for this. You're ready for this learning experience. And we're all here for you to help you put together a routine, costume. You know, Trista Bell does the costumes and the makeup, and we've got Dewan who does polar form, who will make you a costume. We've kind of got a
we have a team.
We really do.
We have a great team.
We have Megan Helmers who will make up some awesome choreography for you. Oh, and yeah. I'm here to yell at you and make sure you're doing your numbers and practicing.
Yeah.
So we really do have a good support team to try this if that's something that you want to do. And maybe competition isn't something you want to do. There's a lot of performance opportunities. To me personally, I feel like they're one and the same. I don't feel any less pressure with a performance, and I don't really feel the whole process is any different with a performance versus a competition. You're really just putting yourself out there to be judged with a competition, which is a scary yet very learning experience.
Yeah. To elaborate on this team thing, you might see one person on that stage busting out some epic routine, but at least at TGR, pole is very much a team sport because, you know, we all go and we all have each other's back, and we've all spent months preparing and coming to open gym times and splitting studio rentals and having private lessons. And you have, how many people went to CPC this year? Like 20.
There's 19 routines. Yeah.
19. So you're going to have 18 other girls sitting in the gym saying, this was great, point your toe. Or, this is great, did you know that your booty was facing the audience instead of your face? So these are things that you actually have to think about. So we're helping people with angles, and you have all these sounding boards and all this feedback, and no matter what, you know that you've got the whole team there with you if you fall on stage. Because let's face it, nobody around us is going to have a wardrobe malfunction. We will not allow that to happen. But if you fall on stage, we're going to be there to, you know, pick you up, dust you off, and be like, you know what? You killed it.
Yep.
And competing is fun. When it's all said and done, competing is really fun. You do learn a lot about yourself, and you become even better than anything that you ever imagined you could be. I'm 34, and I have no gymnastics or dance background, but I can now scare the crap out of Amber by hanging upside down by one ankle and flossing my teeth. So that one always
freaks
out. I got this cool little drop I do. She always gets scared and has to run away. But it's awesome because I can do that, and I never in a million years thought I would be doing something like that ever, not just ever. I never thought I'd be doing stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And every time
I can
compete,
tell.
I get even crazier.
Very good. I got to get to one of these competitions. And I can definitely tell from both of you that you both are very passionate about this sport and you absolutely love it. So outside of the physical benefits that you get from this, you know, what other takeaways are your members getting from participating in pole fitness?
You know, I have three boys and they're all in sports as well. And I love what the life opportunities of sports have given them. I've seen moments that literally changed my kids and put them on a better path, whether it's self-confidence, whether it's how to dig deep, whether it's how to pick up that teammate off the ground and help them back up. I've seen so much growth in my kids. And why does that have to stop when we reach adulthood? We're not done growing. The second you're done growing, you might as well put me in the ground. So that does not have to stop as an adult. We need to keep putting ourselves out there. And, you know, competition really does hand you a slice of humble pie and say, you're not really as good as you thought you were, or, hey, that was pretty awesome.
And I just really
believe in that. I really firmly believe in being humble when you should be, being proud when you should be, and, you know, not always just everybody wins a gold ribbon because, or gold medal because.
Yeah, no, that's not how
because,
life works.
Yeah, it's not how life works. So I really see, you know, whether it's adulthood or children going through this process, you do learn your strengths, your weaknesses, when to ask for help, how to raise your expectations of yourself just a little bit higher, and 99.9% you reach that. If you stay in that little safety zone, that growth area stops happening, and that it really starts to spill over into other aspects of your life. I really think all the time that you spend training for anything makes you a better person outside of the gym, and better for your family, better for your friends, and mentally enjoying your life even at a higher level.
Well, I don't have kids, so I don't get to see that aspect of things with kids playing team sports because I don't have kids. But for me, the non-gym related takeaways that I get from it, this is mental and emotional relief for me. It gives me a break from the real world and sometimes when I need it from my normal life. And it's nice to have that outlet. And it's nice to know that I can walk into TGR and take a class, and there's girls who know me well enough that if I'm not smiling, they're just like, okay, we're not going to talk to Tris Bell for about 55 minutes. And then, you know, I'm back to being me again. Like, it takes so much stress away. And you also, in addition to all of the things that you learn not only about yourself and how to apply that to the real world, you also get to learn how to trust other people. Because when you're trying something new and you're 10 feet in the air, you have to trust that the girl underneath you is going to catch you if something goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
True story.
Yeah. And if I can add, I want to add one more thing here with a story about Jack going through this process.
Oh, he was so cute.
Yeah, he was my 9-year-old. He was 9 at the time. He's 10 now. His two older brothers are, my middle son is a wrestling standout. My oldest son is a football standout. And here's Jack, not really sure where he fits in. He, you know, wasn't really the standout athlete. He just wants to be friends with everybody. He doesn't really want to kick your butt. He just wants to shake your hand and go play, you know. So he was really struggling with where does he fit in his family of athletes. And I kind of encouraged him to try this pole competition. He has more innate physical ability than my other two kids put together. It's just in a total different format. He's always had this awareness of his body, his proprioception of his body and space that's been astounding. He just doesn't really know it. And I kind of convinced him to do this competition. I promised him I would take him to the parkour gym in Colorado that I was talking about earlier if he did this. So he's like, okay. So he goes through this process, and I don't know if anybody's ever had to coach their kid, whether it's on homework or on anything else, but there were times when I just had to walk away, and I'm like, you need Sarah, you need to do this, or Megan, you need to work with him, because I can't. And going through this process was challenging for him.
Yeah.
Some days he was crying and stomping out of the gym. Other days he's like, Mom, look at this cool thing I thought up. And we go through this process. He gets on stage. There is a moment on stage. First of all, it was pole, so he was a little bit embarrassed to tell his friends or anybody. He didn't want anybody to know he was doing it, and I respected that. So here's this 9-year-old stepping out on stage. He does this whole Spider-Man. There is a moment where he jumps. He does. We call it the half Kenneth Cowell because he doesn't jump from pole to pole. He went from pole to a box to the other pole. And the audience just went nuts.
Oh, my gosh.
And everybody exploded. And Jack's supposed to be serious and tough. And
he smiled so big.
He smiled from ear to ear. And the photographer caught it on camera. He walked off stage after that. He's like, that was so fun. That was amazing. Next time, I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. He was already planned in the next routine. And since that moment, he seemed to find himself a little bit more. You know what? It's okay that I'm not a standout athlete. This is what I do. This is a part of me. And I am okay, and I'm part of a group. And if it does that for him, it does that for somebody at any age. Kids are just more transparent about it. So just to have that experience at any point in your life is a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, but
well, yeah. I... And I think you have both of you have summarized that just perfectly. And I just can't say enough how much I have enjoyed having you this evening. I thank you so much, Amber and Tristabel, for coming back together with us. For all of you that are out there listening, if you have any follow-up questions about pole, please do submit those. There's a comment box on the site. We'll definitely get those to Amber and Tristabel and get answers back to you. If you are in the local area, check them out at tgrfitness.com or look for a pole place in your area and check it out and see if it is a fit for you as well. And I also just want to put a plug in for next week. You're going to want to be here next Thursday. We're going to have David Melanchon with us, and he is often referred to as a wizard or an alchemist when it comes to nutrition and bodybuilding contest prep. So definitely check us out Thursday. Also, you're going to want to catch Kaylin Tuesday evening as well. I know he's going to have a really great guest on the show, so a lot of good stuff coming on. Isabel, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Kaylin, thank you for being with us. On behalf of this whole crew and P4P, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
We'll definitely
hey,
look forward
to see you as Spider-Man soon.
I will be there with bells on to see that for sure.
Sign me up for this event. I'll be there with a camera.
All right.
Oh, and video. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.